Okay, you guys, let's do this. It's going to be so professional. Okay. Like, so professional. Here we go. Welcome to the Lab Support Podcast with your hosts, Michelle Anderson and June Coulson, a couple of clean comedians who support each other and others through comedy's wacky and winding roads. I hope you're ready. Get set. Let's go. Since podcasts have a catchy tune, we wrote this song for Michelle and June. Clean comedians are best friends too. Oh, so good. And you never know what they'll say or do. Here we go, sing with me on Lab Support, with Michelle, who's really short. We'll have a ball, with June, who's really tall. They have fun, interviewing comedians on Lab Support, with Michelle, who's really short. Now it's time to start Lab Support.
The Lab Support Podcast is brought to you by the Hot Breath Comedy Network.
Welcome to the award-winning Laugh Support Podcast. I'm your host, June Bug Coulson, here with my best friend, Michelle, with one L, Trisha's sister, Rhonda Coulson, Corey's friend. Don't call me Shelly. Michelle Van Dusen. How we doing, little one?
I'm good. I'm so excited about today. I was cleaning. I know. Shocker. And I found...
First of all, we're not starting the podcast with a lie. We're not lying. No. You were cleaning, Michelle?
I cleaned or I was dusting. Whatever. It doesn't matter. So I came across a container that I had something in that I've been storing in there for quite some time. And I realized I have to show you this because it was the coolest thing I've ever found. It's a chip. You see that little face in there?
Oh my goodness. Okay, because we're a podcast, we have to describe. Friends, if you know me, you know how obsessed I am with faces and strange places.
How obsessed I am with food. Okay.
It's a perfect combination for best friends. It's food with a weird face on it. I had someone send me a picture of a bell pepper the other day that looked like a face. It's called, you know, they're called capsicums?
Yes.
Yeah, I didn't know that. We had some athletes from Australia stay at our house one time. They were here in the United States playing ball, and I hosted them at my house, and we took them to Subway, and they wanted capsicums. And I just thought, like, oh, that's a slang word for peppers in Australia, but it's a real word.
That is the word. That's the scientific word for peppers. Yeah.
So, okay. How's the weather in Tulsa? Because I always get the next day I get in Bowling Green what the weather is where you're at.
I can tell you that today is a high UV day. So I haven't gone out. So I don't know.
That's right. Because you do spontaneously combust in the sunshine. So yeah, that Irish skin. Okay. That's okay. Raining today. That's why I was hoping that maybe that was a high UV day for you. Can we talk about how I saw a picture of you when you were in high school? And I thought you were wearing compression pants and a shirt underneath your clothing. I was like, wow, that's crazy. Michelle was, she was protecting her skin with like white Under Armour. And then I realized there was no Under Armour created when you were a kid. And that was your flesh.
Okay, let's move on to something else. Let's get this show started.
You make fun of me for being tall. I have to have my thing for you. That blew my mind. I was like, wait a minute. Under Armour wasn't made back then. Okay, listen. I sent you a picture, but before you pop it up, I have to say, I sent this picture because I wanted to prove that I'm okay, is what I'm saying. I know you and our friend Rhonda Corey, which is a Rhonda Corey moment. There's always a moment for Rhonda Corey on our podcast.
I can't you go all, back.
Yep. You all were concerned that I was seeing things because on Marco Polo, which is our favorite app to communicate with each other, I was talking to you all and suddenly I saw Jesus walking past Starbucks.
Mm-hmm.
There he is. Okay. And you and Rhonda was like, wait, what? And I go, yeah, I think I've seen him. Like, I've seen this guy, Jesus, walk in front of Starbucks before. And Rhonda's like, did you just say Jesus has walked this road before? And I was in a hurry, so I couldn't get a picture of him.
Okay.
Look at the smile on that guy's face. So I'm throwing back to last week for our tip of the week, when our tip was go fast.
Oh, yeah.
And I was encouraging people to take time to fast from social media and how it can take up so much of your life and your time. And so anyway, that was our tip last week. And this is proof that you should, because I was getting my oil change yesterday and his face popped up on the local, like Spotted and Bowling Green page. Michelle, when I tell you, we're comedians, but people are just funny. The first person commented, "Wow, this is so cool. Who's this guy? What's his story?" Question mark. And the next person replied, "His story is the New Testament." And then, okay, then somebody said, "Who is he?" This is when I was done. "Who is he?" And somebody commented, "Some say he's John the Baptist. Others say Elijah."
Oh, goodness. Oh, man. Oh.
Yeah. And then another one said, "He's going door to door to ask people if they'll feed him and house him, you know." Yeah. So anyway, here's what gave me hope, is that there are people in town that do know some of the Word of God. And I don't do, we're Christian comedians. Both of us are. You do some content about church and being in church with your children. I didn't grow up in the church culture. So my Christian comedy is God honoring comedy, but not necessarily Christian content. I don't do jokes about Jesus. I don't get in that realm. I don't do, Noah's Ark jokes or whatever, but I couldn't fully appreciate what just happened in that comment section.
Oh, there you go. You froze for a moment. So,
oh, sorry.
Yeah. Okay. So,
yeah, well, I was just saying I can fully appreciate the comedy in there, but it proves the point that I could have been doing something productive while I waited for my oil to change. Yeah. And instead I was just being entertained by comments about Jesus in front of Starbucks. Okay. So I had to share that with you today. All right. I am so excited. I don't want to banter anymore. We have such an amazing show today. Now, our guest is not a comedian, but he does have a faith-based comic book superhero series.
Oh, I love comic books.
Yes, you do. Yes, you do. And so, there is comic. There's definitely a comic in his life. It's called, and it also, there's a graphic novel now that you can get, and it's called Godsend Spiritual Warrior, which is really cool. And that's just one of the many things he does. So why don't you tell our guest who we have on the show today? Or tell our listeners, not our guest. He knows.
All right. So our guest today is a former professional athlete. He was a fitness model, an actor, a director, an author, an advocate for clean family entertainment. He's an inspirational speaker and has been in some very powerful films such as like War Room and My Brother's Keeper, No Vacancy. Let's welcome to the Laugh Support Podcast, T.C. Stallings. What
up? How y'all doing?
Michelle, your goat didn't scream.
Aw. Oh, well.
That's okay. I bought Michelle a screaming goat for Christmas because I buy the best gifts for people. So, T.C., welcome to the show, my friend.
Thank you. What's up, June? I appreciate you inviting me on. It's nice to meet you too, Michelle, and your goat.
And her goat, her screaming goat. Yeah, her family really appreciates the fun gifts that I send to Tulsa, Oklahoma. It's
good times.
It's good times. So, okay. So T.C., we're going to jump right into it, man. Welcome to Laugh Support. I will tell you, Laugh Support podcast basically started because when I started in Christian comedy, I knew no one. I knew nothing. And one of the first people, I was at a Christian Comedy Association retreat, and I was about to do my first 2 minutes of material. Michelle, how many pages did I have written for 2 minutes of material?
It was a book and a half. It was this thick. It was a novel of her life. And I was like, we're going to have to edit this down. Sorry. Yes. Let's edit this.
So Michelle sees me as a lost puppy in the lobby of this hotel in Nashville, Tennessee with a stack of paper. She helped me edit what I was going to do. We stayed up till 1:30 in the morning, knowing that everything started at like 8:30 the next day. And she literally coached me through and gave me that confidence and that strength to go on stage in front of probably at that time 200 Christian comedians and do 2 minutes of material. So we had a friend reach out, want us to do a clean comedy podcast. They wanted a clean comedy podcast on their platform. And they knew they could trust Michelle and I with that because of who we are and how we operate. So we named it Laugh Support. Mm-hmm. Because she was my laugh support. She was a person mm-hmm. who was there for me. Yeah. And I know that you're not a comedian, but you've had a long journey in entertainment. You've played some pretty serious roles, but I also know that you have a really fun and funny personality. And yeah. I know that in the world that you're in, it's important to have a good sense of humor and people who make you laugh. So we wanted to just kind of start with when you think back to when you began acting in this world, is there somebody who comes to mind that when things got tough, they were able to lighten the mood and make you laugh?
Yeah, I could think of, like, right off the top of my head, there'd be three people. Because when my acting career started, when it really, really got going, I had just graduated college. I was playing pro football at the time. So I was about in my early 20s at that point. Because I didn't grow up as a kid trying to do this. I was more about sports. Mm-hmm. But around this time, I had gotten married. So I had been married for about 2 years at that point. So my last support, because this is about when the opportunity started to come and I got really serious about it. So it would definitely be my wife. And like I said, you made a great point about not being a comedian. I mean, people may not be comedians, but people can have like a sense of humor. Yeah. You know, for us, you'd be surprised how much laughter happens in the Stallings household. just people being silly, being funny. And so for me, it would be my wife and it would be my mother, who is no longer with us. And then it would be my best friend from high school, actually from junior high school, who I grew up with. My best friend, he is a comedian. Like he's not a professional comedian, but he's a nut. He's a comedian. So we would always laugh. Like he won funniest person in the yearbook and he was always the class clown. We are still friends to this day. And so obviously through phone communication and things like that, we always have a laugh. I think our conversations aren't even real conversations. It's like 2 hours of just laughing about stuff. So for me at that time, those were the three people that immediately come to mind, whether it be my wife or my mother or my best friend, that as I'm going through this, whether it was a hard role or a hard journey or whatever, if I had to laugh at something or had something funny happening in my life that lightened the mood, it would be one of those three.
Hmm. So have you ever played a comedic role?
Actually, I would say I played a role that lended itself to that. If anybody ever seen the movie A Question of Faith, I was a supporting character in that film. I played the character of a guy named Cecil, who this movie was serious. It was about, you know, racism was in it, just serious stuff. Drunk driving, texting and driving, just all of that stuff. People were, you know, dying and people were getting hospitalized and just, it was real, real serious. And it was also about like being present as a father and all of that. I played this pastor in this movie was just kind of getting everything a little wrong when it comes to his family and, you know, hatred for the person that like killed his son, like in a car wreck. It's just all this stuff. Well, my character, Cecil, was the lighthearted part, the comic relief, as someone would say. And so, like, there's this funny back and forth, you know, like the whole baseball who's on first type situation. Well, I kind of fell for this girl at a dinner and, me and the pastor were sitting there having dinner with her because she was working on a project. She was heading it up for us and we were having a meeting, but I got eyes for her at this moment. And then the pastor kind of looked and knew. And so he just put me on the spot and was like, Cecil, why don't you give her a ride home? And so I'm like, and then she's like, oh, I don't know. I'm like, oh, yeah, I'll do it. And she's like, well, you don't have to. I'm like, no, I want to. Like, so like, we're going back and forth. And so, like, every time when we, you know, when you do the screenings and you can watch the movie with other people, the only time people really laughed is when my character was on the screen. So that's about the closest I've came to, like, where my role is meant to be light and funny kind of throughout. Other than that, it's just in, you know, some of the movies you mentioned, like War Room or whatever, there are these moments that you might kind of just organically be funny. But to actually do a flat out comedy where everything is just meant to be, you know, you got to get these laughs. I haven't had a role like that, but you know, if it did come, people would probably enjoy that side of it, because now you kind of done peered into my house and see what life is like at home with me. So,
yeah. Do you think, you know, you definitely played these dramatic roles, these really powerful roles. And without being a lead in a comedic role, I wonder if you feel like there's a different level of difficulty in executing a comedic character versus a dramatic role. What's your take on that?
I feel like the challenges are the same, because there's really one universal challenge, whether it's comedic, whether it's dramatic, you know, whether it's a thriller, no matter what it is, the challenge is to be authentic to it. The challenge is to be believable. So, you know, you don't have to be a funny person to play a funny person, no more than I have to be. There are so many things I play that I've never done before. You know, I've never, you know, like beat somebody down in the gang. You know, I've never operated on anyone. I've never, you know, arrested anyone for real. I've never been in shootouts. I've never been, there's so many things, but you have to study and figure out how to be authentic to it, and then you go for it. So the challenge of being authentic is always the same challenge, regardless of it. However, I will say, like, even someone would think that a comedic movie role would be easy for a comedian. But see, the thing is no, because you got to be authentic to the situation written. It's not the same as standing up on stage telling the jokes, which is like literally one of the hardest and most terrifying things I could ever think to have to do with myself. But that's like that. They're at home doing that. That's. But when you try and take, I'm funny, I'm a comedian, I can make people laugh. Well, what does the context of the story require you to do with that comedic ability? You have to take that and then make me believe that you're not on stage trying to make me laugh. You have to make me believe that you're in that restaurant doing whatever. You have to make me believe that you're at, you know, doing this thing that I'm supposed to believe and see a scene. If you're not good at being authentic to what the role requires, I'm going to see you on stage trying to make a joke, and then the movie won't be good. So I think acting in and of itself is just a challenge to be authentic to what's written, regardless of, you know, whether it's a comedic role or a dramatic role. Now, I will say personally for me, and this is kind of the other side of the coin, some people, if you're generally like goofy and got a nice smile and just whatever, it may be easier to you to lean into that, but then harder for you to turn around and make me believe you'll take my head off, you know, and be aggressive. And, you know, sometimes I feel like I have a natural lean towards being able to be aggressive. It comes easier just because there's a lot that I think it's harder to be funny because people try too hard and don't know how to let that come natural to them. Well, a comedian will naturally have that ability. So there's a lot of nuance there, but I would say being authentic is hard no matter what role you're trying to do.
So now, Michelle, go ahead.
I was going to say, I can see now, you know, the two of you writing a script called The Joker. And and so you have to be on stage being funny, but it'll be the storyline behind it. I could see that totally happening. Okay, go ahead. What's the question, June?
I was going to say, you know, I met TC through a program called UCAC. And I just spoke with Michelle a little bit ago. Actually, I didn't have time, but I was going to go on your website and see if there was a way to purchase the program for Michelle. Michelle's been acting for a long time, and And I would love to be able to gift that program to her, not because, well, mainly because she's already walking that out.
Yeah.
She was that example to me. And so I would love for you to tell people about the UCAC program. And then I want to share a little bit about how it's impacted me.
Absolutely. Yeah, it is. It is up and ready to go on my website, www.tcstallings.life. And you just click on UCAC and everything is there for you. And it's cool because we kind of really just went public with it. And what I mean by going public is just like we're talking about it a lot, opening it up to anybody, you know, who needs the help. And it's been around for 4 years, though. And what I wanted to do in that 4 years is build the community. You want it thriving. You want it already ready to help new people. And I wanted to take my time and personally work in the private Facebook group that's a part of the program. We have a private Facebook group once you complete the program where the actors can grow. And I wanted it to be established. If you just get everything out there, get the program set up, get the Facebook group set up, and then just start flooding it, you don't know what you're going to have. Well, over the last 4 years, I know what I have. You know, we've seen actors help each other, actors networking, collaborating. The ones that may not have really wanted to do it, maybe have walked out of it. It's like you've got a real community. Someone just joined 2 days ago, and like right off the bat, you got like 35, 40 actors jumping on or like, welcome. And what I see, that's what I want. You're not going to get that from day one. So what UCAC stands for is Uncompromised Christian Actor Coaching. And the way it came about is just I'm out in Hollywood. I had just gotten started. And, you know, I wasn't looking to do faith-based films. I didn't know what I wanted to do. I just knew I wanted it to be clean. And so for me, when I started to look at help for Christian actors, Christian actor coaching like this, and the only reason I chose that was not to do faith-based films. It was because I knew what I was. I'm a Christian actor. And there's a difference between a Christian actor and a faith-based film actor. A faith-based film actor pretty much only wants to do those types of films. They want faith-based in their film. A Christian actor is someone who is a Christian that acts. That's all it is, a Christian that performs. And so our standard and is the same. It's just our choice of projects is different because that's just what came my way a lot was faith-based, but I just love clean stories, you know, stories that if Jesus showed up, I wouldn't have to quit doing what I'm doing. So I'm a Christian actor. I'm not a faith-based film actor. But nonetheless, the training would be the same for both of us. Meaning I tried to take a class and I'm out in Hollywood. I want some help. I want to get going. I'm fresh off of this. I'm coming out there. I have nothing. No one knows my name. None of that. And all you can find is people cussing at you. MF this, F that, and this. And I don't talk that way. So how are you going to, you can't train me that way. I can't even do that. You know, taking your clothes off or anything like that was not frowned upon. You know, this is wide open. And so, okay, fine. I don't learn that way. I can't learn that way. So I wouldn't thrive in that environment. Also, coaching is also about guidance and managing and directing. And you get, you know, people saying like, okay, your very first thing you should worry about, are you getting paid? How much? Like that kind of trumps everything. What are you getting paid? How much exposure you can get? But in my mind, you know, as a Christian, I know some other things have to come first. So I'm just like, that kind of training is not going to work for me. So I didn't take that class. Now acting is acting. You can learn acting anywhere. But as far as being coached with that acting as a Christian, that takes a unique set of leadership. So I kept Googling and kept turning up nothing. It kept saying, there is no, like your response turned up empty, turned up into whatever. And so I prayed about it. I was like, I'm wondering if I'm supposed to fill this space. Because I had got to the point where I wasn't, you know, I hadn't done anything huge yet, but I did earn a role in Courageous. I had been in the number 4 movie in America. I am in Hollywood. I am kind of getting through here and I refuse to compromise. And so I'm like, okay, as I walk this thing out, I'm going to be kind of recording my experience. I'm going to be recording what worked, what didn't work. And I'm literally living it out. So after 3 years in Hollywood, waking up one day in the number 1 movie in America and the lead actor in it, having been signed by top major agencies in Hollywood, having rubbed elbows with all these A-listers that I'm sure you would know if I start, put it this way, you can go to my website and look at the career gallery and look at all the people that, mm-hmm. and you'll know them all. You'll know all these A-listers. I rub elbows with them. I've been in films with them. I never left Jesus out of the process, never compromised, and doors open left and right because it was God's purpose for me. So once I got through all of that, I'm just like, okay, I'm going to create a program that literally shows people how to do what I have done. And you're going to, it's instant credibility because I've done it and everything's documented. And so I'm going to give people what I didn't have. If you're a Christ-like, if you're a Christ-following actor or actress, I know this will help you. And I know how hard it is to find work and find gigs. And so like, but I've been through that. And my mentality that I had worked, my strategy worked, my processes worked, my prayer life worked, my everything that I did in my efforts to not compromise my faith with Jesus, don't leave him out of the process, worked. And so being that my goal was to go to Hollywood and make it without compromising, I knew that would drop the stigma or belief from all these other Christ following actors that you have, like you, that you can't make it if you take Jesus with you. You have to hide him. You have to suppress him. I didn't do any of that, and I made it. So UCAC became the first and only program designed to meet the unique needs of a Christ-following actor or actress. And so that's like a way of summing up what it is. And now, like I said, we're going to tell everybody that we can about it. And if you're called to it, it's here for you. And remember when I told you, when you Google it, when you Google help for Christian actors or Christian actor coaching, you get nothing. Well, now when you Google Christian actor coaching, the very first thing you're going to see is me and UCAC. And so I'm really, really proud of that and what it's doing, what it's going to continue to do. We're really just getting started.
Mm. Michelle, you've been acting. How long have you been acting? You've been at it for a little while.
Yes, it's been a minute. I studied in college and then I dropped out of college to pursue God. So it's been a minute. It's been a minute. I know you can't tell, but I am in my 50s. So so on and off, you know, 30 some years, I guess.
So she can always use the Lord as the reason she dropped out of school.
She uses it for a lot of things.
That's perfect. Lord told me to do it. You drop out. That's perfect.
Well, that's imagine perfect. 30 years ago, if you had had a program like this available to you as, I mean, Michelle is somebody who her life journey and her faith journey and her biblical knowledge and all of those things, I'm just in awe of, and has been a huge benefit to just have somebody like that in my life, that stepping into comedy while she didn't have a coaching program for comedians. Yeah. She's been that example for me from day one of, you know, especially coming from a home where crude humor was used, it's still used, and, you know, trying to figure that out.
Somebody like her would have been a blessing to me too. I didn't have, she came when you need, I'm all by myself. That's what, but you know what? I wonder, for me, if I hadn't been by myself, if I had somebody like Michelle, see, I would have been able to give her the credit, like how you're giving her the credit. Like, we know it's God, but he used Michelle.
Right.
You know what I mean? He used Michelle for you. So for me, I didn't have anybody for him to use at that time. And so I feel like the program was birthed out of that, because I had to try it. I had to try all these things for myself and fail on my, and so I know what works and what doesn't work. And so I was literally all alone. All I had was my family, but my family aren't actors and they're not involved in that. They just, you know, support everything that I'm trying to do. But all of this stuff was literally just using scripture in my life in the teeth of a place that they say you can't make it, like with Jesus on your back like that. Mm-hmm. So it was just a great 10 years, 10 years, and every year was just proving that theory wrong. Mm-hmm. You know, I completely thrived living out there. And I continue when I'm called to do it, I go. I'm at a great place in my career and still have never left Jesus out of the process, you know? So, I absolutely love holding and running with that torch of doing my career with a Christ-like mentality. And like I said, it also helps with, you know, the, and I know we're kind of going to possibly get into this later. But I learned a lot about Hollywood in terms of there are more Christians out there trying to get this thing right than people might understand. And if you've never lived there, you will never know. So it's really unfair to judge that area without knowing what really goes on there. And like I said, I saw it for 10 years. So.
Michelle, you've been in the comedy world and acting for quite a while. You've seen a few things too. I assume.
Just a few. And I do know that when we've had our conferences, when I've attended some conferences in the LA area, so like Patricia Heaton showed up and like we've had that body of Christians saying, we're praying. So keep praying for Hollywood. Don't give up on them, you know, kind of a thing. So it's been a journey to watch. And for me, it's been exciting to see how many more Christians are becoming more public.
Yeah.
With their faith versus keeping it, you know, like, oh, wait, that person's a Christian too? Huh, didn't know. You know, like just these little things. So, yeah.
And I'll say too, so as far as the UCAC program goes, it definitely benefited my life as far as not just, I knew that I'd acted before. I'm always writing. I have scripts that I've written. I've done, you know, those types of things. And I loved it. Like when I first got into the program, you know, TC, you're such a advocate for prayer, and making sure that you're checking in with God first. And, but what's happened is, you know, there's a lot of areas in comedy that the lessons I was learning, because I was like, God, am I supposed to be here? I mean, I really was praying, like, is this UCAC? Because our friend Chester Goad, a good friend of ours, he's been on the podcast. Michelle and I are just adore Chester. You know, he brought this to my attention. And I did. I was like, God, is this where I'm supposed to be? And he just showed me there are things here that you need to learn. And there were things that, even though I had good friends, I didn't necessarily have a mentor in comedy. And the lessons I was learning through UCAC was more than just like acting, but it really was, I think what you did for me is you challenged me on really how serious am I? Mm-hmm. How serious am I in my faith? What am I willing to do or not do for the likes or the follows? And some things that other, honestly, other Christian comedians, Christian actors, we have friends that have films and, you know, those types of things. I see you carry yourself with even a higher standard for your calling and your representation of Christ. And it makes me want to do the same thing. It makes me really think about who I am and who I represent, who I allowed to lead me. I remember hearing you talk about not trying to kick down doors. If I'm out there kicking down doors, I'm wearing myself out, and really understanding that who opens and closes those doors. And that gave me so much peace in the comedy world. And I knew that God was going to allow me to have some opportunities to act, and I'm excited to be able to do that. But overall, it was just a lesson. I think that anybody in entertainment, it was just powerful to know and understand. I wondered, like, you see a lot of Christian creators. Unfortunately, I've had some encounters with Christian creators that I was like, oh, wait, what? You know, conversations about, I know, like on screen, you won't kiss another, you know, another woman. You kiss your wife and that's it. And you found a way to make it believable if you are in those type of scenes. I've heard others talk about how much fun it is to kiss someone other than their wife, you know, and I would not have seen that as anything different if I wasn't taught better, if I didn't learn better. I had a friend of mine say, if you don't set a line, you will cross into territories you never knew you were going to get into.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And so I wondered, like, in your thought, how critical it is to you to see Christian creators doing that in a way that is uncompromising.
Yeah, that is a slippery slope right there. And I'm glad you brought that up. I mean, you talked about your experience in UCAC, which was my design and hope for what you just said, how you come in there, you know, you grow, you get new perspectives, and it ain't based on like TC's opinion or anybody else's opinion. What UCAC will do is put you face to face with scripture, things that God has said, things that Jesus have said, things that the disciples have said who follow Jesus.
Yeah.
And it challenges you to walk that out in your current life. And when you look at that in your career and what you're pursuing, and you know you're doing it in a way that is in opposition to that, then UCAC will put you face to face with what Jesus and God says will happen to you when you do these things. You know, and you learn these when you see, so when you see people coming together holding each other accountable in that way, you're doing more than just helping them with their career, or you're helping them with their life, with their walk. And that's the difference between, you know, being a Christian performer, entertainer, whatever, versus just a regular entertainer, regular person, is there are no rules except the rules you may set for yourself. You know, people, well, I'll do what I want to do, and I won't do what I don't want to do. Versus for the Christian is, I can only do what the Lord approves of. I can only do what he allows me to do. So this is why people run away from this whole setup, is because of the constraints and the rules and the freedoms. And now that parlays into the problem with Christians sometimes and this content and all of that. You can tell when a Christian is solely, in a lot of places, just going off their belief only, meaning I believe in Jesus Christ, I got baptized, and then now I'm off and running. Ain't no more work to do. So they stop reading. They don't read the Bible. They don't, you know, the Bible, it's all about my faith. No, you read the Bible so that you can get guided on how to walk out that new faith that you have. Everybody acts like I can just stay the same. But Jesus himself says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. The old is gone and the new has come. So no, there is no I can be whatever I want to be, stay how I am. You can come to God how you are. You can come to Christ how you are. Don't work on changing anything. Come whatever you are.
Right.
But according to that scripture, he doesn't allow you to stay that way.
Right.
The old you must change. So when you see people, and it's funny, I made a little post about this some time ago, and I was just like, if entertainers, actors, actresses, whatever, you call yourself a Christian, and you're looking at this content, and if you got to bleep it out and you got to do all these different things, or you got to like put bars up because you're nude and all the kind of, if you really just sat up there, read scripture, and then asked yourself, would Jesus approve? You know, you're going to say he wouldn't.
Yeah.
So therefore people just would rather not ask that question. And so now what needs to happen is we need more Christians compromising so that we can create a new standard. If we can get more Christians doing it, then, you know, now it doesn't shine on my sin too much. And that is why people like me, even within the Christian community, is not as welcomed as y'all might think, because there are a lot of Christians that like to compromise. And I literally have been on a faith-based set and had to call a meeting because of compromising that was happening on that set. And I'm like, okay, I would never do this in Hollywood because they don't know better. And if they're not believers and they're not claiming it to be a faith-based movie. But on this one, I'm calling this out. Y'all should know better.
Yeah.
This is sinful. I've had to do that on faith-based sets. So for a Christian who calls himself a content creator who calls himself a Christian, what I would challenge you to do is ask yourself before you post something, if Jesus was standing right next to you, he'd say, yeah, post that. I like that. If you can't get that out of Jesus, then don't post it. And then the funny thing about that is you can take it a step further. The Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. You have to imagine a holy God watching what you are doing. And you have to make sure that what you are doing, if you call yourself a Christian, that you represent him well. Because what I read in scripture tells me every place I see someone who leads another person astray, or lead someone away from the Lord, God frowns on that.
Yeah.
And he hates that.
Yeah.
Christians should fear that. You should worry about, is your content pushing people closer to Jesus or away? Regardless of if it's preaching or not. It doesn't have to, listen, you don't have to say nothing spiritual in your work to push somebody away from Jesus. All you got to do is call yourself a Christian and then compromise in your stuff. And then they go to scripture and see what a Christian is really supposed to be. And then they're watching what you're doing. Now mm-hmm. you're a hypocrite. Now they don't want to be what you are. It's mm-hmm. as simple as that. And now you're pushing people away from the Lord. So that's what it comes down to. But yet Satan's strongest weapon right now is likes, retweets, subscribes, subs, monetization, algorithm. These are you, people worry about so many different things. Those are, I feel like those five things is his strongest weapon, because right now people will do anything for them. Mm-hmm. And it's sad when Christians who are supposed to be using the power of the Holy Spirit to be above all that fall to that. Now, I say it ain't about being perfect. I'm not getting into this thing about your Christian behavior and all of that. But we are empowered by the Holy Spirit to know better than that. So I'm more so talking to those who know better, but yet they want these things anyway. And so the fact that they can get away with it, they keep doing it versus the ones that don't know, because they're still growing. Before Paul was Paul, he was Saul, you know, and he was screwing up a lot. And he, you couldn't tell him he wasn't no holy person. You know, he thought he was worshiping the Lord until Jesus opened his eyes. So there's a lot of grace when you're in your Saul state. But when he became Paul, he's still acting like Saul. That's a problem. And punishment is going to happen at that point, because you know what you're doing. And there's a lot of Christians who know what they're doing, but it's not profitable. It's not getting the likes. It's not getting the retweets. And therefore, what do? Full circle. They compromise. And my whole battle is against that right there, because that's what's stopping us as Christians from being able to lead people to Jesus, because they're seeing too much compromising going on. And a lot of people are just like, I don't want no parts of that. So if it wasn't possible to keep your nose clean as a Christian, then the Bible wouldn't challenge us to do it. You can keep yourself standing up. The Bible says you might stumble, but you won't fall. You can keep yourself above reproach enough to lead someone to Christ, to where they can't find nothing in your life that makes them not want Jesus. Mm. But what people tend to do is allow themselves to tinker with sin so much so to where they get dimed out. And now, you know, no one, you know, they're like, I'm already doing that. I'm already sinning behind the scenes. Mm-hmm. So why do I need to become a Christian to follow all your rules? And it ain't even working for you.
Yeah.
Where's your power? Where's this Holy Spirit that's supposed to stop you from all of that? So compromising is terrible. And that's why the Bible frowns upon it so much, you know? So yeah, long way of answering your question. But at the end of the day, a lot of people just don't care. You know, they call themselves, they don't care. They care more about, you know, what they're going to get out of it. But if they read scripture, and when you see the words of Jesus, and he's saying stuff like, not everyone who calls out to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only those who do the will of the Father. So you have to ask yourself, is it God's will for me to sit up here and make just about as worldly posts as everybody else and do all of that? And just keep doing that. And you challenge them on that. And then you'll see what their response is. You know, so it's kind of what I do with my career.
Yeah.
I'm going to stand on that. And hopefully it will be, my goal is for people to see it done the right way. I'm not afraid to say that. And I'm trying to, things like UCAC help build other actors and actresses up to do it the right way. Show that you can do it Jesus's way.
Yeah.
And so I'm excited because I know what's going to do it. I know the Lord is with me. I know he's with us. And not because I'm so great or any of the actors and actresses. It's just because we're grabbing the Bible, reading it.
Yeah.
And aiming to live it out within our career, no matter what. And we will not compromise. You can't buy us. You know, in any way, shape, or form, you can't make us compromise. And God gets all the glory, whether we're ever famous or not.
Right.
Doesn't matter. Daniel 12:3. Those who lead others to righteousness will shine like the stars forever. That's the star we need.
Oh, that's so good. That's so good. And I have to say, watching June over the last year, I've seen her grow in leaps and bounds being part of your program.
Awesome.
Like, yeah. And I have another friend too, that's also, I believe, in your program. And So just watching and just sitting back going, okay, this is good. This is good. So, yeah, that was great. That was fantastic. I feel like
well, it's funny, you know, knowing her a little bit more, like I don't know all the UCACers super personal. I know them all well enough to help them, but mm-hmm. some I've gotten to know a little tighter than others, depending on how the Lord has led. And mm-hmm. let's just say I've gotten to see June's strength as well. And warms my heart to see that. And I don't get credit for that. God gets all the glory. I've watched her use the power of the Holy Spirit, the lordship of Jesus Christ and God's sovereignty to work some things out in her life. And that's why, you know, when she asked me to come on here, man, it wasn't even a question about coming, because I'm just proud of how she has allowed him to brighten her up, man, and give her peace that anyone familiar with her life and situations may not even understand where her peace comes from. That's exactly what it means to be a really, really, really strong Christ follower, because that kind of strength is inspiring, because other people will go through a similar situation. And now she gets to share what she used to get through it. And then her life is evidence of it. And now they want that same Jesus. You know, so I definitely get behind people like that, because I know what that's like. And I know the Lord will want to continue, you know, to use her in the way that he's using her and put her in audiences and places that she probably never imagined she'd be. How am I here? Why am I here? Why is this crowd so big? Or why is this crowd so small? She knows that it's purpose. The Lord wants me to make these 5 people laugh, or these 500 people laugh, and do it in a way that never dishonors him. And through her success, other people will say, huh, I can be funny without dishonoring God too. And I love to see it, you know?
Well, I know it's really special for you to take out your time and be able to come hang out with us. And one thing that I feel like when we are Christian artists, we don't have to go through what a lot of people go through as far as what I consider identity crisis, right? No matter what's going on in my world or going on around me, I know where my hope is. I know whose child I am. I know that I'm safe in the arms of the Lord. I know that this is a temporary dwelling. And, I want to do the best that I can while I'm here to honor God. But what I think we saw quite a bit during COVID, even in the comedic world and all that, is people, they lived for that audience. It did matter to them how many people saw them and how many people liked them. And that's where they got their fill. Right. And they had these identity crisis and even Christian artists, we saw that in Christian comedy, Christian artists just completely lost and not knowing what to do with themselves, because they were used to filling large spaces and people standing in line, you know, to see them. And suddenly that was gone, you know. Yeah. And I love having people around me that if I do get sideways about who I am and what I'm up to, you know, I say I've got Jesus watching me and TC and Michelle. So, I got the perfect combination of people to keep their eyes on me. But I do want to say this, as far as the program and as far as TC goes, because I do have the opportunity. My life has been a little crazy in the last year, and my family has faced a major crisis. I haven't been, you know, public about it at all. It's just something that my family's definitely going through and allowing God to lead us through that. But I will say that one of the first people that came alongside me, because it was about a conversation about something totally different, and TC had reached out. And when I said, hey, literally right now, my life just fell apart. Whatever acting conversation we were going to have didn't exist.
Yeah.
Everything dropped. The phone rang, and the first thing I got was, are you okay? And who do you have around you who's praying? Do you have people who pray? Then he wanted to know what advice is being given to you. And literally it's actor coaching, right? But what I've been blessed with is a true friendship and a true relationship. And you truly showed that it's not a front. It's not just some conversation, that's the thing that kind of matters. It is what matters first, God and your family and relationships and doing what God would call you to do. So I've never had a chance to say thank you for doing that. To have brothers and sisters who surround me and love me and lift me up, I just thank God for that. And so I just wanted to be able to thank you while I have you on here and say just what a blessing you, not just, you know, it's not a commercial for your program, but it truly is just a something that has blessed me in my life. And so I definitely wanted to talk about that as much as we could today.
Oh, absolutely, man. And I appreciate it. And that's, you just summed up why I wanted to do it, you know, this is it's kind of one of the big hopes that I had for the whole thing is just that people understand why we coach the spirit first. Like you can't, how are you going to go and be the best performer you're going to be in everything in your spiritual life is just all messed up. You know, all stress, anxiety, just all these things, you know, you're ashamed of this or that, and you're not right with the Lord. And then not to mention the Lord is just, he has to punish you sometimes, all this different stuff. You know, you're wondering why this ain't working out and that ain't working out. Man, if your spiritual life is messed up, you shouldn't even be thinking about being no actor. Like, how can the Lord move you? Just think of Israel. Just always think of Israel. The promised land was waiting. But the whole path between when that journey started and when it ended, there was no way the Lord's going to be like, okay, y'all are all messed up, but here go to promised land. No, it goes punishments, and got to do this, and you got to wander for a while, and you got to do this, and just in these years. So it's just like Israel had to get their spiritual life right first. Then they got a chance to see it. You know, and so it's like, that's why you coach the spirit first. I would never tell any actor, I'm like, one of the first things y'all know is like, hey, how's your prayer life? How is your Bible study habits? You know, if you're hitting your script, network, reels. Oh, and let me, if I can squeeze God in for a little bit, you're all messed up. And one of two really stupid things are going to happen. One is, like I said, you're not going to make it because the Lord can't move you forward, or he won't move you forward if you're basically then put him underneath your career, because now your career is idolatry. That's just messed up. But then the other thing is, if the Lord actually takes his hand off of you and you start succeeding, if you start succeeding and the Lord isn't opening the doors, then who's opening the doors? Yeah. You got Satan opening the doors because you thinking you're doing the wrong thing and it's working. That is the worst thing in a Christian's life, is when you're sinning and you're succeeding at the same time. You're choosing a non-godly way to get something done. And then Satan's right there to open that door for you. And you think God must have just been okay with that. Mm. But you forget that Satan offered Jesus gifts. Yeah. If he would do it to the Lord, what do you think he'll do to you? Hey, follow me and I will give you this. So here you are ignoring your purpose and your compromise. It worked. Looking around, thought something was going to happen to you. Nothing happened. Oh, goody. I'm going to keep doing this.
Yeah.
And Satan's just winning, just pulling you down, you know. And so, but when you train the spirit first, you will know that that's how he operates. You will know from scripture, he's coming to kill, steal, and destroy. You will see all the things that the Lord talks about that should scare you and freak you out when it comes to compromise, because you're getting your spirit right first. And then you can know, like when I'm walking with the Lord, now when it comes to doors, these folks out here that's casting or scheduling me to do my stand-up or whatever, they don't get to say yes or no. Not from them personally. They're going to deliver a message, because according to scripture, my purpose is already planned.
Yeah.
You're being used for God to say yes or no to me. God is the yes or no person. So now you, sir, have no power. And this is something you keep to yourself, so you're not prideful. You, sir, have no problem of whether I get to perform in this club, this comedy club, whatever. God does. So now your heart don't need to thump like crazy no more. When I'm going in auditions, I'm like, man, God's got me. I either got it or I don't, according to his purposes. If he wants me in this role, everybody in this room, when I go through this door, has to serve me. You have to cast me. You can't say no.
Yeah.
And same thing, no matter how bad I want it, when I walk through this door, if the Lord has purpose for me not to be there, I can have the best performance of my life and they are going to pass on me. Being that your spirit's right, that is not going to frustrate you, because you're walking with the Lord and it's his yes and his no. Now, do we get disappointed when we don't get there? Sure. If I wanted to be the next Black Panther and I got an audition and I don't get it, I'd be like, ah, man, Man, but because of my walk with the Lord, it's going to come and go. I'll be at peace. I'll have joy because I know I walked with him. I didn't do anything to where I need to be punished and can't get it or something stupid where it's just not his will. And that's why I can take pain. I call it ordained pain. I can take pain. I can take no's. I can take, because it's ordained. Yeah. I treat it the same way I treat the good stuff, positive stuff. It's ordained. Job is a great example of ordained pain. That brother was going to go through that whether he liked it or not. His walk through the Lord took him through it. And it's the same way when you get people that have gotten a lot of riches or gotten a lot of whatever. It was God's will. The key is to walk with him. Walk with him and you're at a great place in your life, you know, mentally, because it's just like everything that happens is due to I'm walking with Jesus. Whatever he says goes, positive or negative. And like the Bible says in Romans 12:1-2, when you follow him, like at the end, I love it's 12:2, his good, pleasing, perfect will. That's how that whole scripture, if you read it, I urge you, brothers, by the mercy of God, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your reasonable act of worship. Don't conform to the patterns of the world. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will know what God's will is for your life. And then boom, his good, pleasing, perfect will. That includes pain. That includes shut doors, whatever. You've done all that stuff leading up to the end. His will is good, pleasing, and perfect. That's, if you get a UCAC or walking in that truth and in that strength and in that, man, they're not going to be stressed out. They're not going to be, and they will be successful because the success is not dedicated or predicated on what they get or don't get. It's on, did I walk with the Lord and did I walk through the doors that he told me to go through and I accepted the ones that he shut? That's life. And your number one concern is making disciples. See that again, that's the coaching. Mm-hmm. We're here. Every Christian is here to make disciples, not to get an Oscar. If that happens, great. But it never supersedes making disciples. You know, so now we know what to do when it gets quiet, when we're not getting booked for gigs, when we're making disciples. We have something to do. We're not depressed. We're making disciples because that's priority number one. The acting, the comedy, the writing, the directors, because we got all kinds of people in UCAC. All these different, UCAC is basically just not for actors and actresses, just Christians and entertainment. We know what to do when it's quiet. You know, during a pandemic, they shut down the whole industry. UCAC is making disciples.
Yeah.
Because that's job number one.
Yeah.
That's what you're here for. That pandemic shows you whether your career is idolatry or not.
Yeah.
So, man, I love it.
Yeah. And I think some of our listeners are comedians. Some of them are just listening for entertainment purposes. Some of them are Christian. Some of them are not. I just want to remind you guys, you are welcome to always email myself and Michelle at the laughs up at gmail.com. If you got questions about who is Saul, who is Paul, and what is this that TC's talking about, man, first of all, we'll say there's a really cool book and it's in there. It's called the Bible. And you can always, you can always open that up and read. Also Michelle and I, much as we love talking comedy and entertainment, man, we love to talk about the Lord. So we would be happy for you to reach out to us and we can have a conversation with you. So, Michelle, how awesome is my friend, my coach, TC Stallings? Pretty awesome, huh?
Oh my gosh, we've barely touched the surface
I know. Of
this because we never even got to the different books that he's written, you know,
Okay. I will show you definitely I want people to look at The Pursuit on your website. Just because it's 14 ways in 14 days to passionately seek God's purpose for your life. This can be for anybody. You ain't got to be a comic. You don't have to be in the entertainment industry. I'm telling you, you can see it's like my Bible. It's falling apart, TC. I have pieces coming out. I've gone through this multiple times because one thing I think people struggle with is that, man, what's my purpose? What's my purpose? And the word tells us what our purpose is. And tells you exactly use the word. Yeah, you use the word in here to tell people, you know, how to figure that out, how to walk that out. And
plain as day.
Yeah, it's awesome. So anyway, I've got a signed copy there. Look at that. And you can find that on TC's website, but he also has Playing on God's Team. And that's a devotional for athletes. It's really cool. I got that. I had that beside my kiddo's bed when he was playing high school sports.
So let me give you. I'm gonna drop a little surprise, little nugget here. So that Playing on God team, I came to faith. Like as far as what it really truly means to be a Christ follower, happened in college or whatever, and I was persecuted by my coach and just all this different stuff. It's in that book. Well, I made a documentary about it,
yeah.
And it was it's funny. It was the documentary I made was more so of like just me sitting in the chair doing testimony. You know, in fact, I use this chair right here when we set up the whole thing or whatever, and we set the studio or whatever. But the funny thing about that is someone sees it and they say, you know, this would make a great actual documentary that we can put on TV.
Yeah.
So now I take it and I spice it up and add more. Like make it more theatrical so it ain't just me sitting there testifying. Mm-hmm. And so now it's going to get global distribution. I just saw the DVD cover for it today and it is sick. So that's one of the things that I ain't even got a chance to announce that yet. But
awesome. It's and it's called 24 Counter, right?
It's funny. They changed the name because when you see the film, you'll know why I used to call it 24 Counter. But now it's just like a lot of people may not understand that term. And so it's called T.C. Stallings, The Story Behind the Run.
Mm.
And so now you know it's about me and you'll see, well, what is this story behind the run? And so it's incredible. But they're going to, translating it into different languages. So it's going to be in different countries. And the funny thing about this, and if this is one little internal little lesson, I was just going to donate this.
Mm-hmm.
To a streaming platform, and I'm just kind of holding off because they'll announce it all again. I was going to donate it just so they can use it. And they saw my heart and was just like, donate it. No. We're gonna. And then anyway, and then I found out what they really could do with it. I didn't even know what I was dealing with. But I had a giving heart. You see what you can't. You go and you try to just be selfless and give and just have no agenda, no nothing. You don't know what God has planned when your heart is like that. And so in that moment, to be able to do that and then turn around and get so much back in return. And all I was trying to do was donate it. Like, here, use this, play it wherever you want to play it. See if you can get some people to know the Lord. And now it's going to turn into, it's going to be a DVD. It's going to hit the market. It's going to be going all over the place, going global. And I'm just like, wow. And I saw that. But it was based off that. It's basically that book coming to life.
Mm-hmm.
And you can see the actual documentation of things that happen, So, and then of course The Pursuit, I wrote that while I was in Hollywood. And that book opens up telling my exact Hollywood journey and how that all got worked out. And the 14 day thing is because I want you, there's no magic in 14 days. I don't want you, and this always happens. I don't know why I thought people would do this. People read it. The book is a very fast read. And so people can't stop and they just read the whole thing. And you can read it in an hour, really. But I want you, because it's 14 scriptures that I want you to take time to pray about and camp out on. So that's why I take it one day at a time, 14 days. Give it the day. You read it in the morning, camp out on that all day.
Mm-hmm.
And so it creates like a 14-day devotional type of situation. And I just want you to rush through it. But what most people do, and I'm fine with it, as soon as they get it and they read it, they're going to go through the whole thing. And then they go ahead and do the 14 days. I don't care what you do, but just take each scripture very seriously and just ask yourself if you believe what's there. If you read The Pursuit, I'm telling you, because of Jesus and what scripture says and God's sovereignty, that is why you will know your purpose and how to get into that. It won't be because of me, because all I do is point you to scriptures that show you how a Christian should know their purpose in life. You can wake up every day knowing what you're supposed to be doing, and you get that from scripture. I thank the Lord that he blessed me with a book form to be able to just point it right back to that. And the funny thing about it is when you even look at how that happened, the only reason that book exists is because, and you'll read about this in the book a little bit. When I was out in Hollywood, one of the things I needed to do was hold down a job so that I could have money to take care of myself, which helps with the not compromising, because really it's the money that makes people compromise. You got bills, you got kids, you got all this. And then someone says, hey, just drop one F-bomb, man. We know you don't cuss. We took out 10 of them. We just left one because it's really pertinent to this scene. I need you to cuss this woman out. Mm-hmm. We left one. And bro, this is a $150,000 role. Or this is a, $20,000 per episode. Come on, man. You a leading man. Da, da, da. You have to say no to that. You know what I mean? Yeah. God is no more happier because you chose one F-bomb than the 30 that was in the script. God, I got it down to one. I don't forget the point that I was making. What was I
talking about in Hollywood, The Pursuit? And you were
get sidetracked. But yeah, you know, so I had a job that was helping me not even have to worry about all that kind of stuff. So I get let go from this job, and I was working with kids at the time. They couldn't fund my position, so they say I've just let it go. They, you know, whatever. We find out why. But when I had a curriculum written for these students where I was going to teach them about their purpose, because I know with these young groups that they don't know, they struggle with that. Yeah. And I have 14 lessons set up. This was going to span probably a year and a half. We do like one a month. And I had it set up for that. Well, I had just written it. We were going to do day one. I get fired on day one. And then they give me an opportunity to speak to this group one last time before I leave. And this group, I started this group from scratch because that's what I got hired to do. It was thriving and everything. That's another story in itself. So there's some holes in this. We're like, what happened? Why did they let you go? Well, they said some things, but I kind of think of something else, but here we go. Nonetheless, what you need to know, you know, is that I got a chance to speak to this group one last time. And I said, I know this group. I've been with this group for a year and I know what they need to know. I got to figure out how to say this to them. So I took the 14 lessons and I tried to smash them into one message. And I wrote it line by line. And that's the book that you hold. Because when I did that, I'm like, man, why did I write this way? And it was because if I had one thing to say to y'all, this is what I would say, because knowing your purpose in life encompasses everything when it comes to being a Christian, because you got to accept him as your savior. You got to walk it out. You got like all of that is wrapped up in your purpose. Mm. So this is the most important thing I could tell you. And I laid it out in 14 points. So after they huddled with me and cried and I left, I got home. I remember talking to Levette. I'm just like, you know, people be asking me to speak. I'm like, I'm going to say this again, that this is for everybody. This is not just for these kids, these college kids. Yeah. So I went to an event and I did the exact same thing. Afterwards, there was a long line and all these people were asking me, where can they get that? Is that written down somewhere? I need that. Gosh, that's a step by step. Oh my God. What was point number two? What was point number 12? What was it? And I got that so much. So I was just like, I need to maybe write this and make it a book. I've never written a book in my life. I had no connections. I had no nothing. I write it out. Just what I think it might could be, you know, you do a little research or whatever. I write it all out. So mind you, at this point, when I got fired by that job, by the way, this little backup, I got fired by that job. When I drove home to tell my wife I got fired, and now we're going to be struggling because I'm in Hollywood. I don't have any gigs. I'm still struggling to try to make it as an hour after getting fired, I got a phone call. It's Alice Kendrick from Kendrick Brothers. He said, TC, how's everything going? I'm like, you know, it's going. He said, well, I am going to, I want to offer you the lead role in this movie, War Room. I'm going to need you for the whole summer. Are you free? I'm like, man, my schedule just opened, brother. So that's why I got fired.
That's purpose.
I would never have left that. I just started that whole thing with these kids. I probably wouldn't have. There's no one else that can do it. And so anyway, the Lord freed me up for that. But going back to this whole thing with writing the book. So now I'm doing two things at once. I'm speaking and I'm prepping for War Room. The person who does publicity for War Room calls me and says, TC, we're setting up some interviews. What do you got going on? I'm saying, oh, nothing. I'm just, man, I'm kind of hungry now writing a book. She said, really? What's it about? Told her a little bit about what, you know, whatever. She said, I'd like to read that. Again, this reminds me of the DVD situation. I don't know this woman from Adam. And yeah. You know, people treat others when you don't think they can do nothing for you. You're just like, whatever. I said, sure. I emailed it to her. She turns out to be, she's the head of Icon, which is Icon does the PR. She's the head person. she's friends with a man named Carlton who owns Broad Street Publishing. She read it. She says she could not. She called me back. I mean, this was fast. She called me back. She said, TC, I'm on page 10 and I'm in tears. She says, this is amazing. She says, I have a friend named Carlton. He is the CEO of Broad Street Publishers. Can I give this to him? I said, absolutely. She gives it to him. The very next day, I get a call from Carlton. He said, TC, you got yourself a book deal. That's how that book in your hand exists. It's stuff like that. And what I love about it is, what can you say about me that made that happen? Nothing.
Right.
And
that's
fired. I was just trying to honor the Lord. So why do you think I care so much about the spirit in this? Because I see what God has done. Yeah. I see what he does. Was there pain in there? Yes, I got fired. I was homeless at some points. I was just all this stuff. But it was purpose pain. It led to other things, you know? And so at the end of the day, man, yeah, that the books. And then finally, you know, I wrote my autobiography. Is I think I want people to know the man that God has built and everything that I went through. And I want them to see all the times why some people think I'm, you know, so he sold this, he sold that. Well, look at all of the stuff that would have happened to me had I not learned how to keep my eyes fixed on Jesus. And that's where that whole title comes from. If Satan just wants to bump you off center, that's all. As long as you're watching Jesus and keep your eyes fixed on your relationship with him, you're going to be okay. And I got the whole title from, like, when Paul was, he said he wanted to walk with Jesus on the water. Jesus said, come on, get out. You can walk. He was walking on water, doing just fine, looking at Jesus. Then the storms come. He took his eyes off Jesus and began to sink. That literally is a microcosm of life. If you take your eyes off Jesus, Satan is a much harder opponent than he is when your eyes is fixed on Jesus, you know? And so that's where the title comes from. And you see all these times that from the time I was born, Satan trying to knock me off center and me continuing to learn how to keep my eyes fixed completely on Jesus. And so that's what that book's about, you know? So yeah, man, it's just my gifts, his glory. That's kind of how I roll.
I love it.
Man, I can relate to the Satan trying to knock you off center. I think maybe that's that was our maybe connection of what made me just feel. Sometimes you're just around people that you feel like I get them and they get me. And we've definitely had those journeys. But right now, hey, so we've kept you so much longer. We would keep you so much longer than we said we were going to. So
I'm here for you.
Yes, I hope there's some grace on that. But before we let you go. Anything else you want to share with us? Any, you know, if you got some breaking news or anything big like that, we're here for it, aren't we, Michelle?
Yes.
Well, spill the tea. there's actually quite a few things. First of all, whenever y'all see me, you know, growing out hair and doing all these things, and there's so much hair up under here.
I was gonna say, what are you hiding under that hat?
it is the look of this means new role is what that means. And when the time is right, I will be able to disclose more. But what I will tell everyone is I'm preparing for what will be the biggest role of my life. It's the most challenging role. It is not faith-based, you know, and then personally for me, I'm really trying to get away from that for the simple fact that there's so much in my life that basically is a way for me to like teach people about the Lord and all of that, that I don't have to use acting for it. When it comes to acting for me, the way I do it is a testimony in Jesus in and of itself.
Yeah.
Because I will never do anything that dishonors him. I've done so many, you know, faith-based movies and things like that. I actually just want to tell good stories or be a part of telling, you know, really good stories. Not that those aren't good stories, but it's just like they're, I don't want people to come and see what I do moving forward to like, okay, what Bible lesson am I going to learn? There's plenty of that already there. You can go for that. Like, I want people to understand that, like I said, my faith and who I am will never change. I will never change who I am on set. I got books that teach. I got messages that teach. Mm-hmm. I got all these things that teach this. I want to entertain you, and I want to show you that my movies don't have to be faith-based for me to show you what uncompromised looks like. Yeah, I want to entertain you in a regular film. I am not under the protection of the script being a faith-based theme. Yeah. It is just what it is.
Yeah.
And watch me show you how to not compromise. And watch me entertain you, you know, and watch me. I'm not so, and I'm excited about that because, like I said, you know, I got so many things that I do that is literally the whole purpose is I'm about to minister to your heart. This does the same thing, but you're literally just, it's almost like I liken it to if I was to invite you guys to go bowling with me, there's nothing ministry about bowling. But the thing that would minister to you is how I carry myself. And what would minister to me from you guys is how you carry yourself. I'm out with two Christian comedians. These ladies made me laugh all night. They ain't saying nothing. They weren't no Jesus jokes. They're just funny. Imagine that. They're just funny. I had a great time. They didn't tell one dirty joke. They didn't, and they were hilarious. But you didn't invite me to a Christian conference to prove that. We just went bowling. We went bowling and had pizza. And you were awesome as two Christian young ladies. That's what I'm doing with. That's the corner that I'm turning with my movie career.
That's good.
And it's going to even say, like, you're going to see me in a film and it's just about what it's about. Like this film right here, I will tell you it's a period piece, which is really, really cool. I've never done anything like this. It's a period piece. I will tell you it deals with the Civil War. I'll tell you that. And so it's going to be really, really cool. I've said as much as I can say on that. but again, you're going to enjoy it. But as far that's what I want to do. I want to be a part of some amazing story. And it's a true story, by the way. That's another thing. Mm. You know, No Vacancy wasn't really a faith-based story. It just had that's a story of life and struggle. This man was trying to kill himself. This man was in whatever. But the fact that a church helped him get to where he needed to be, it's just God gets all the glory, you know. So it organically is going to be about him anyway. But that was a true story, a real story, and I love doing that. But yeah,
it was so powerful, and I will say, it is a perfect example. If you watch No Vacancy, of how a person can be an uncompromised actor and execute at least two scenes that I can think of off the top of my head that were. Man, it was just a hard scene. That was a serious scene. There was, you know, I will say there was a bar scene. There was a scene where you were being attacked, and there was nothing. There was no cuss words. There was no, you know, foul language, anything like that. And it didn't matter. You didn't need a cuss word in that scene. It felt as real and powerful as any scene I ever saw. In a film where they were cussing and you know, absolutely. Doing that, it was just, there was no point where my brain went, well, that was just a really soft way for a Christian to do a fight scene. No, like, dude, my heart was like, yeah. Like you felt the danger. It was real and so powerful.
Wait till you see this. So that's all I'm going to say on that one. You already mentioned, I will say this film is going to open me up to a whole new audience, fan base. People probably never even seen me. They may not be Christians, may not. And I'm just really excited about that because that's how you make disciples as well. You know, so I can't wait. You talked about the graphic novel. You go to my website and you click on God Send, you're going to notice that on the right side, you're going to see where it says feature film because I have the team that I need to make this graphic novel into a feature film. So if anybody want to support what's going on, what I will tell you to do is grab the graphic novel. It was, we released it in singles at first. So there was like 8 issues. Now they're all have been combined into one graphic novel for people who just want to read it straight through. Yeah. So you can either get the individuals or you can just get the graphic novel, get that, support that, spread the news about that, because the more hype we get on these characters from the novel makes it a lot easier to transition into the film. And June's going to be in that film. She so
Yay! Just, you said it. I I haven't said.
Yeah. June's gonna be in the film. June's gonna be in the film. So that's about as much we can say about it. Don't tell them what you're doing. Don't tell nothing at all. But June's gonna be in the film. Let's put it that way. So pray for that because I have a team behind me to help me with it. It'll take some time. But we're on the right path with that right now. Support the comic. Support the comic. You know, UCAC. Obviously, we're public, growing that community. Go look at the success stories that are on there. You know, just look at it, pray about it. If it's for you, I'm telling you, this there's nothing out there like it. It's helping people. So I'm excited. We just went public with it. We did an informational. 5 people joined from that informational right off the bat. You know, so that was incredible. We already mentioned the new documentary. The DVD's coming out. It's called T.C. Stallings, The Story Behind the Run. You can check that trailer out as well on my YouTube page. And then I'm partnered with Clear Play. We're continuing to get people to try that for free. And they are definitely in my corner about filming. So any support for Clear Play is support for me. So if you've never tried Clear Play, tell your listeners, try it. It's free to do. Again, everything I just said is at my website. Look for Clear Play. Look for UCAC. Look for Godsend, the comic. And stay tuned as far as this film goes. We're getting ready to start shooting it pretty soon. And it's going to be on the low. That's about all I can say about it. And but when I know more, you all will know more.
But y'all, you got the exclusive right here on the Laugh Support Podcast.
This is exciting.
That's crazy cool. I think it's our first exclusive, Michelle.
Well, there was one other.
You got quite a few exclusives. The DVD, it's going to be great. Now it just depends on when you release this. So
yes, well, okay, next week. So it'll be our next week episode. We drop every single Thursday. So this thing is dropping next Thursday.
Well, I appreciate you guys, and like I said, more so than a fan of just the way you do your comedy and everything, I'm probably even a bigger fan of your life. Just keep living your life with a Jesus first mentality. The both of you. I just met Michelle today, but I can just tell from what I hear and what I know of June that she's special. So I'm glad y'all have that good friendship. And you know, keep me in your prayers. I'm not made of steel, but just watching, I'm behind someone who's made of something greater than that. You know, I'm held up because I walk behind him. You know, that's why I'm not really worried, but I always want prayers. And we'll see what other doors the Lord opens up as we keep pressing forward.
That's amazing. And you'll see Michelle bouncing in the UCAC room soon. She lives her life uncompromised. But what I think it's going to be is a great tool for her to continue to coach people like me and people who are coming into the area. It's just going to be even more information and more tools for her to use in a ministry she has been at for quite a while.
Absolutely.
So, TC,
we love
you. Man, we thank you for being here. Michelle has ran that, scrolled that across the bottom quite a few times, but you can definitely find TC Stallings. Check him out on all the social media, and you can go to tcstallings.life. You can find all of the books and
everything. Hey, let's blow up this UCAC. We're public now. I want this community to be huge.
Yes.
And the bigger it gets, we can start making our own films. We got one. Like I said, I talked about God saying that's gonna be my baby. But then it's going to take off from there. We'll just grow this group, grow this community. And I really appreciate y'all. Michelle, look forward to seeing you in there. And everybody else, just spread the word. Let's grow. Let's do this. And you got to support people who are trying to do it this way, because we got. I'm not asking you to support compromisers. Pray for them. But the people who are really trying to do this God's way, you know, you got to help people like that. You know, so hopefully, you know, pray for me, help me. And I'm humbly asking for your support and your prayers, and we'll see where this thing goes.
Awesome. Right. Michelle's going to kick you to the back. We're going to close this thing out.
Thank you.
We love you.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you so much for being on the show. Dude, everything was great. Everything. I told Jen more.
That was incredible. Everything was there. It was all just.
Is your head spinning?
It is. It's so good. All of that was. I definitely have to get the book, The Pursuit, now. Just listening about it, because I don't have that one, and I want to get it for all my boys. I think my boys need to read that for sure. And I think it's going to help them. You know, they're young men and they're at an age that I think, well, I think that book is for anybody at any age.
Yeah. But so I think too, though, yeah, you definitely are at a point. I know that my boys, people would always say, as they got to a certain age, what are you going to do? What do you want to do with your life? What do you want to do? And I remember a friend saying, how about ask them what God wants them to do?
Yes. Yeah.
And I was like, wow, you know, and I feel like that's definitely what the pursuit does. But my gosh, so much information, such so a great good. Interview. Michelle, I'm not going to rob you though of your horrible, terrible mother joke, Michelle's mom joke of the day.
But before I do that, you know, we got to get your tip.
Oh, I may have forgot even what my tip was at this point. What was it going to be?
Don't step on it.
Don't step on it. Oh, okay. So my tip of the week was for comedians, not stepping on the laugh. So I just got to watch a recording of myself for Dry Bar. And I was watching it with a friend of mine. And I remember them saying, wow, you have come so far as letting the joke breathe and not stepping on the laughter. And I remember watching the playback of it and seeing that and just learning how much fun it is to enjoy that moment when you put the laugh out there and people receive that, to allow them, not really for me to have the moment, but you have a good time too. But what we're doing is not making people laugh. That's what I tell people. We give them an opportunity to laugh. We give them our gift and they can do whatever they want to with it. And don't step on the laugh, man. Give them some time. Give the audience some time. If they're laughing, take that beat, breathe it in. It's the gift you've given them through the gift God's given you. And you get a little gift back when you just let it sit for a minute. So that's my comedy tip of the week. And what is your horrible joke that I will pretend to laugh at?
Okay. My joke of the week is, who was the shortest person in the Bible?
Okay, so Zacchaeus is who I want to guess. Who's the shortest person in the Bible?
Nehemiah, because he was knee high.
Michelle, no. Again, I apologize to our listeners. And for those of you who enjoy this, something is not right with you. Okay, so that's it for this episode of Lab Support Podcast. As I always tell you, Jesus and Junebug loves you. And Michelle, tell him goodbye.
Goodbye. Thanks for listening. And